Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways, exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
All right, I could tell you guys who is in the top 10 of the unsexiest men of the year list.
I saw this.
Or you guys can call up and try to guess, which I think is way more fun in the top 10.
Is this of all time or is this, I'm sorry.
Just this year.
Okay, just this year. Okay.
404-741-Q100. If you haven't seen the list yet, give us a call. Take a guess who you think is unsexy. Dudes that would be unsexy in the top 10 this year. And I'll tell you if they're in the top 10 or not.
It's like movie and TV, both?
Yeah, it's sort of all over the place. It could be politics. Mm-hmm. It can be if they are known in any realm,
okay.
Then they would qualify for this list. Have you seen it yet, Wendy?
I have not seen the list.
What about, Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman have a comeback this year?
Pee Wee Herman is not in the top 10.
Only in your heart, Jeff.
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates is not in the top 10.
Who? I'm trying to think this year.
He's the unsexy, right?
Mm-hmm. Zach Galifianakis.
Not in the top 10. I don't even think he was in the top 100, to be honest with you.
Prince Charles.
Oh, that would have been
that
a good
is
one.
Not a sexy man.
Is David Letterman on the list anywhere?
Letterman is on the list, not in the top 10, but Letterman came in at number 34.
Okay.
Let me give you sort of a sense on who might be on the list. All right. So guys like Shaun White.
Redheaded
dude.
You mean the girl?
The guy that,
you mean that redheaded girl?
The redheaded.
The snowboarding guy.
Oh, yeah.
The carrot top dude.
Yeah.
He made the top 100, not in the top 10. Rush Limbaugh, not a very sexy guy.
No.
He came in at number 80. This one I was really surprised by. Robert Pattinson.
Really?
Was 74 on the list.
Huh.
Okay.
Well, it's like our men's madness. It's just shocking.
Angela, good morning. Take a shot at this. Who made the top 10 unsexiest guys?
Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt.
Is that beard?
You?
Unsexy? Yeah, with that beard. I really don't like it.
Yeah.
Well, he's probably doing a movie.
So Brad Pitt, clean shaven, sexy, with a beard, unsexy?
Yes, the beard is so unsexy now. I don't even like it no more.
It's like stuck on the mountain beard, not like...
I mean, it's so granddad.
You know what I think? I think when you've been that good looking your whole life... And I think people dismiss your talents because you're that good looking. I think really pretty people try to ugly themselves up to gain credibility.
It just doesn't work.
Look at
you
me.
Remember, you poor pretty people.
You remember like Tori Amos? How she was really, really pretty, but she used to try to ugly herself up?
Mm-hmm.
She was pretty. You can't do that. Brad Pitt's the same way. Trying to grow a beard. Try. I dare you to try to be ugly.
Charlize Theron. Remember? She did it for...
Monster.
Yes.
Yeah. Brad Pitt is not on the list.
Hmm.
Good morning, Lynn. You are on Q100. Hello.
Hi.
Unsexy list. Who's on it?
Kanye West.
Kanye West did not land in the top 10, but he is in the top 100.
Really?
Yep. I think it's attitude.
I'm just trying to think. Because like...
But Whoopi Goldberg.
He did not make it. Good morning, Tyler. You're on Q100.
Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods is the number one unsexiest man.
Booyah!
doesn't matter what competition it is, as long as you win. As long as you win, good for you. You are
awesome.
The champion of this list today.
Did you hear me on the radio this morning, man?
Dude, I totally guessed Tiger Woods.
That's right.
Totally guessed it.
I didn't win anything, but I got it right. Yeah, Tiger Woods is number one on the list, according to this this website. And we'll link over to it to Q100AtlantaTalk.com.
So, would a John Edwards make it? Because he's normally attractive, but he's kind of been doing bad things.
Yeah. John Edwards is number three on the
list. Is he? Okay.
There you go.
Unsexiest man.
Is Jesse James on it, or did he come out too late?
If he is, number six.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that
number
makes sense.
Number six. So now you're getting a reoccurring theme here.
Hmm.
Lil Wayne came in at 17. Ryan Seacrest came in at 28.
Really?
Unsexy.
Is that because like he's almost like too like almost feminine, like too polished?
I don't know. He's a little perfect.
There's nothing unsexy about that though.
Like that's such a rude insult, Jen.
It's like too what?
Perfect.
Too perfect.
Just a little too perfect.
Yeah.
I hate it when people say that to me. So rude.
I think people know that, and that's why they don't say that.
You right. don't
he would it. Hate it if somebody said that to him.
What about that Mark Sanford guy? Because I'm trying to think of people who
cheated, on their,
cheated
wives.
On their wives.
Mark Sanford is number 9 on the
okay,
list.
Okay, so all that's right. what this is about.
Okay.
So that's what it's about.
Shelly, good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
How about Ron Blagojevich?
He is not in the top 10, but I do believe he's in the top 100.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Yeah, Justin Bieber made the list.
No, he didn't.
He did, number 100.
Well, oh. that's actually a good thing for him, because he's 15.
Yes, I agree.
But the Bieber fans are going to be all over that on Twitter today.
Jeremy Piven is on the list at 92.
That's funny.
Gary Coleman, number 71.
Oh, well, oh, yeah, bless his heart.
John Gosselin, 53.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't think of that one.
Levi Johnston, unsexiest list, number 26. Here is your top 10, okay? Okay. Number 10, the Pope.
What's up, Pope Benedict?
Two words generally that aren't together in the same sentence. No. Sexy and Pope.
Sexy Pope.
Do you think somebody has to bring that and tell him to that? Tell well, that to John, him I mean, in his briefing?
John Paul was, yeah, was much more
your father, handsome than Benedict. Your father, there's some bad news I'm going to tell you about today. He's expecting the worst. You're on the unsexiest list.
You look
list.
A little like the Emperor from Star Wars.
If that's the worst the Pope hears, if that's the worst the Pope hears today, he's going to be okay.
And yes, I'm not Catholic.
Number.
By the way, happy Good Friday, everyone.
Jay Leno is number 8 on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Beck, 7, unsexiest man.
Yeah, he's pasty.
John Mayer came in number 5.
Oh, oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because of that whole Playboy interview.
It's become Lex.
Everybody's over him.
Who was 6 again?
6 was Jesse James.
Okay.
Then John Mayer. Kevin Smith comes in at number 4.
Oh,
he's airline, the whole airline thing.
Oh. Yeah, he's no longer Jay and Silent Bob. He is Too Fat to Fly guy.
Right. It's changed. His brand has changed. Aw. Number 3, like you said, was John Edwards. Number 2 was Mike the Situation Sorrentino.
I'm
sexiest, okay?
No!
Sorry.
How's
and number 1
possible?
Is Tiger Woods, yeah.
How is that even possible? Aww. The Situation, I got your back. You should not even be on that list.
Number 2 on the unsexiest list.
You know what? He's on my sexy list.
And that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
The Burt Show.
And I told you guys going into the weekend, I asked the question, like, if anybody has a 3-year-old, how do we get our 3-year-old Hollis to stay in bed until like 7 or 7:30? Because he's getting up at 5:30. Mm-hmm. And you guys emailed me a whole bunch of different ideas that I was ready to run by Stacy, right? Well, we actually stumbled on an answer accidentally this weekend. And if you have a 3-year-old or a 2.5-year-old that you're trying to train, maybe this is going to work for you guys. So my family left for Isle of Palm, South Carolina on Wednesday. And then I came and I flew in on Friday for Easter weekend to be with them. But Stacy put Hollis in bed with her just for the weekend, right? And she set the alarm for 7 o'clock. So Hollis gets up at 5:30 and mom tells him, look, from now on, you're not allowed to get up until you hear the music. So he goes back to sleep. And then when the alarm went off at 7 or 7:30, I mean, he was awake, but he didn't get out of bed until he heard the music.
Mm-hmm.
So she did that on Wednesday night, Thursday night, and on Friday night, and on Saturday night also. So he hasn't been in the room himself yet to execute it, but all weekend long, she has been in bed with him, and he's been waking up at like 6, but doesn't get out of bed and stays still until like 7 or 7:30. The alarm goes off, and he's out of the room.
Nice.
So he followed the rules.
So he's followed the rules so far, and when they come home today, tonight will be the first time we try it with him on his own, in his own room.
Right.
But so far, so good.
That's great. And you're not sleeping in the bed with him, though, right? Because of your knee?
I have not been sleeping in the bed with him, right. So this is just mom and he.
I was like, you can't have a 2-year-old rolling over on that knee.
No.
That was freaking me out.
No. But it might work for you guys also. So we'll see if it really worked tonight.
Yeah.
If he sleeps through the night and gets up when the alarm goes off.
Well, he needed a cue. You know, like if it's the music of the alarm, then he knows, okay, that's my cue. I get up.
And he's been good about staying in bed because mom's there. That might be the key right there. When he's alone, we'll see how it works.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
But if it works, we'll let you know tomorrow morning.
Hey, The Burt Show. Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
The Burt Show.
Matt, producer Carl Hill. All eyes on you, producer Carl.
How do we do that?
I think you're overreacting about this whole thing. Man,
I'm not scared because I got Jen to my right, mm-hmm. Melissa to my left, and I'm like eye to eye with Wendy. I'm not scared about this, mm-hmm. man.
Okay.
A couple weekends ago, me and my wife, we go out, right? So it's just a night on the town. So I get a call from my guy. Hey, man, come through this house party. It's a nice party. It's going to be a bunch of people there, like an industry type of party. So I'm like, you know, okay, I'll come on through. So we came on through there. Big fat house. I mean, maybe the biggest house I've ever been to in Atlanta.
Wow.
Next to Holyfield's house.
Okay.
And really? Not personally, you know. Never been.
But, yeah, Holyfield, my boy.
Yeah, I know, right?
But besides the houses I've seen on Cribs, this is the biggest house I've ever seen.
Man, seriously, right? So I go. We went through the house, and we say butlers and chefs. I mean, this
is a house that could be on Cribs.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Really?
It might be on one of these days. You might see this guy up there.
Full staff, you got.
Full staff, man. I mean, it's a castle. It's way out. So I'm walking around the house and everything, and I'm checking it out. We're like one of the first people there. So it's like a bunch of Bentleys and Mercedes, and it's some ballers over there, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay. So
you
whatever.
Drive up in that big old truck that has the balls hanging down.
Exactly.
From the,
we got them swinging everywhere I go.
But they're diamond encrusted when they're on their vehicles.
Right, exactly. So I'm walking through the house. So I break away from my wife for a minute just to kind of get a drink because I'm there with a buddy of mine and his wife. So I breaks away for a second, and this girl walks up to me. Now, first of all, when I walk into the house, I made eye contact with that girl. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking like, uh-oh, that might be the one that I might have to, you know, kind of...
Dodge a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So she approached me at the bar. The first thing she asked me, hey, who are you with? I said, well, I'm here with my man, blah, 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 my wife, blah, blah, blah. So she didn't recognize any name. So she looked at me again. Well, what do you do? Exactly.
And
it was that quiet.
And that's when you were offended.
Yeah. I mean, her very second question was, well, what do you do? And I was like, what do I do? I make babies. What you do? You know, and the thing was, it was just a big, it was like, you know, the
so
first
that's
thing
what you offended gonna, you is the, that question.
Exactly. Like, what do you do? Instead mm-hmm. of asking me, she didn't even ask me my name. She asked me, who was I there with?
Mm-hmm.
The second question, well, what do you do? Mm-hmm. And then I
so
gave her an ignorant answer.
So you think she was a gold digger?
Oh, hands down.
Yeah.
And then I gave her the ignorant question, like, I make babies or whatever, ha, ha, ha. And then she looked at me and rolled her eyes like, that's why I don't know you. It kind of walked off. I'm like, you.
So you okay. So you think it's offensive, not if somebody asks you what you do for a living, but in that setting?
You can ask what you do for a living, but get down. Just ask, you know, get a little bit.
Get down the road further.
A little
bit. I think this is a cultural difference because remember when we did this, you know, we do the race panel and we do like the Ask Me Anything.
Mm-hmm.
What do we call it?
Ask a Race.
Thank you. I'm like,
so many titles.
Just curious about a race update in townhouse.
Second chance update.
Right, exactly. I'm like, wait, what? But I remember when we talked about that, about how it may be a cultural thing because I think for us, because we heard your story about this, and I said, I don't think that there's anything offensive about her asking what you do for a living because mm-hmm. I think that typically white people do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, how are you? What's your name? What do you do?
Really?
Because it's somehow how we define ourselves is by our jobs and our careers. And I think especially for guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think it's quite of an offensive question if it happens. I don't know.
Was this a white girl that asked you or a black girl that asked you?
She was black.
She's a black girl.
Yeah.
So was it more offensive because of that?
No, not at all. I'd be offended the same way. Would you be offended, Bert, if that's the second question that they asked you?
No.
Hey, what's your name?
No.
What do you do?
We did talk about this during our Ask a Race.
Didn't we?
And, you know, black people called up and said that white people are nosy. The way that we communicate with each other, black people perceive that as being nosy.
As being nosy, yeah.
In, like, the white community, that's just sort of like breaking the ice.
It's just talking.
I think in that setting, I can see why you're offended because obviously she was looking around trying to find somebody who's rich at the party. So I do think she's a gold digger at that party. So I see why you're offended at the party. But in general, I agree with Jen. It's like, you know, what do you do for a living is a common question we ask each other.
Let's take it out of that big old mansion that you were in with the servants and all that, because that can change the game a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay,
so maybe I was a little intimidated.
Let's say you're at you and your wife are just you're just at a bar, right? Straight up at a bar. It's not a whole hoity-toity thing going on, and somebody walks up to you, and it's the same exchange, but it's not in that setting. Are you still offended by it?
Yeah, I think that's a little. I mean, the first question is basically, what do you do? Hey, what's your name? What do you do?
And you're like, it's out of my business.
I think that's pretty standard.
That's exactly what I'm like.
I think that's pretty standard Caucasian practice.
Is it?
Yeah. It's pretty standard.
Yeah. That's a little too nosy for me. You're already in my pockets. What do I do?
Right.
And really what I see is you're making a judgment of me. Because you got to understand.
I can see that.
I'm hustling right now, so maybe I'm not doing too much, but hustling. Man, you might look at me and judge me as some sort of bogus hustler, but I don't have anything right now, but I'm working at it.
I had the same thing happen to me. This is years and years ago when I first went to Los Angeles. I went out there with a girlfriend of mine, and it was for a press junket, but my friend came with me. So I had finished my work for the day, and we were at the W, and this was my first trip to L.A., and we were in Hollywood. We had seen Hugh Jackman having lunch earlier that day. I was like, oh, this is so cool. And so, I mean, I was like 22 or something when we were out there, and we met these guys at the, you know, W Hotel and the bar and whatever, and we were talking to them, and it was like, oh, hey, how are you? Whatever. They came up to us probably 3-4 minutes into the conversation. I said, oh, so what do you do? And this guy turned around and went off on me.
Really?
Really? He was like, what kind of question is that? You know, are you just some gold digger trying to, you know, make it in, you know, in L.A.? Or what, are you trying to be an actress? And what, I mean, he teed off on me. And I was so stunned. Right. I was like deer in headlights. Like, whoa, I just asked. I was just making conversation.
Yeah, I think
a
lot has to do with the setting. But I think as a rule, me and my friend Mike talked about this, and Mike's black also, and he says to me always that white people tend to talk too much initially. Mm. Like, we give up too much information. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, hi, my name's Bert. I work at a radio station. I do a morning show. Right. I met Usher last week.
Right. He sounds like him.
You know, well, when you first meet him, y'all, you know, everybody's kind of cool with each other.
See, but you could make the same argument, black people trying to be too cool all the time. Like, you know, why you gotta be so cool all the time?
I mean,
you could be vulnerable a little bit.
I agree. Man, it's like sometimes when I meet another black dude, it's like you got to break the tension. Like, okay, I'm trying to be cool. I'm not trying to be too goofy. He's not trying to be too goofy. So we're always just like a threshold of coolness we're trying to break.
Is it that whoever's wearing sunglasses wins? Because this seems to be a new trend.
No, that's
the goofy
one.
Not even talk about this.
Carl, if you ever wear sunglasses inside, I'm going to beat your ass.
Please do. Okay. Smack me.
Come on,
both hands.
We're going to do an ask a race later on.
Get the glasses off your face. Yeah.
This week, you got to come back for
get
it.
Get them off your face.
Yeah, because that's one of the questions that has to come up. Even Dolvette last week.
No.
One of my good friends walked in the studio with sunglasses.
I saw it all over New York City this weekend. You are not a celebrity.
Even if you are, get the glasses off your face.
Here's Emily. Good morning. You're on Q100. What's going on?
Hey, I just want to say that Carl is absolutely right. I'm a college student, and in psychology, we talked about how when people ask you, what do? They're completely sizing you up, and it's the way that we judge each other, even if it is a Caucasian thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, you do make judgments based on what somebody does, but I do think that's just a way to continue the conversation, because if you've just met somebody, you don't know what the hell to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well, what's your name? Great. Nice weather we're having. I mean, what else do you talk about?
Where are you from?
Right. And what do you do?
Yeah, I'm
those
starting to get
kind of like the trifecta.
And then you can go from there on questions and conversation and that kind of thing. Except I get offended when I talk about being in radio and everybody else says, oh, well, that's great, but I listen to blank and mentions another station.
Yeah.
So I said, well, where do you work? And if they say Coke, I say, oh, and I drink Pepsi. So sorry, I can't talk to you either. Give me a break.
My friends that are stay-at-home moms get really offended by that question, too. Because they're not sure how to answer that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do? Like, my friends are like, do I say I'm a homemaker? Do I say I'm a stay-at-home mom? Do I say I don't really do anything? Because you really do a lot if you stay at home and raise kids. I raise a family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's your job title if you stay at home with your kids?
Right.
And, like, yeah, a couple of my friends that stay at home are like, oh, I hate that question. It just makes me feel inferior, you know?
And I think another thing is, like you were mentioning, out in L.A., it has to do where you are. Because in Atlanta, everybody's trying to be somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go anywhere. And she asked me, what do you do? I could have done like a lot of guys. Oh, yeah, I do this. I do that. You know, and just fake the whole fraud. But, you know, I wanted to be... I expected a little bit of humbleness, so that's why I would try to be as well.
I hope you learned a very valuable lesson
sure
about trying
lot.
To be humble in Atlanta. Let's not ever do that ever again.
It doesn't work.
Right. That doesn't fit you very well. We are going to do Ask a Race later on in the week.
Okay.
So we can start talking about these things and the sunglasses inside. I've got a question about pork I want to ask this week.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know. We're going to get answers this week.
Okay.
Ask a Race is a segment that we do from time to time. It's these questions that you've always wanted to ask somebody from another race, but you don't want to seem ignorant, so you keep them to yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do that, you never get your answers. So we open up the phones for like 10 minutes, and you can ask anything you want. Like if there's something about the Asian community you've always wanted to know, you call up, we put you on with an Asian, and they tell you exactly what that's all about. Good morning, TC. What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Hey, look, I just wanted to let Carl know not to be offended by that. I mean, when somebody comes at you like that, and it's like the first or second question, you know, that's that just shows their transparency. It's not someone that I would want around me anyway. It's one thing to engage somebody in conversation that comes up, well, you know, this is what I do for a living, and we're into this, and what do you do? But if it's like the first or second question off the rip, yeah, that's somebody that you should even be wasting the thought on.
Then tell me what else to ask. Yeah. If I've never met Carl before, I say, hey, what's your name? Hey, you know, and then what else am I supposed to say? I mean, how do I create conversation with you if I'm not asking how you live your life?
Where you don't feel like you're being judged.
In Atlanta, where are you from? That's always a breaker, icebreaker.
Okay, so where are you from? And you say Decatur, and then where do I go for that? Like, oh, Decatur, that's a great place. I mean, and then where do you go to eat? I mean, like, I'm just, is that where y'all carry on the conversation?
Yeah, maybe we have to do an impromptu one day.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll have to do that.
Yeah.
I'll pretend like I don't know
white,
you.
Right?
You guys are going to role play right here.
Yeah.
The Bird Show.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This is The Bird Show.
Look, it's just taken us 4 weeks to get to this point. So finally, we were like, look, we got to get some pros in on this. And my friend Jason here is a private investigator. Hey, Jason, what's going on, man?
Good morning, man.
And the name of your private investigating firm?
ICU Security and Private Investigations.
Okay. So I called Jason up on Thursday, and I'm like, dude, you got to help me with something. I don't know if you've been listening to the show or not, but we've got a case here for you, and it's been going on for 4 weeks. Can you sort of help us with it?
And I just have to interrupt for a second and say there's two distinct, a New Yorker and a Southerner, their accents make you more legitimate as a PI. Like, his big Southern accent makes him sound like a badass, and the only other person could be, like, thick New York, and that's it. If you're a PI with a Midwestern accent, you might as well find another job.
That's true.
You're not from around here, are you?
All right, so initially when I call you, are the thoughts that, like, it's got to be, like, a drug deal, it's got to be something, because the guy's showing up at the same time every single day?
Well, that was my first thoughts, too. Uh-huh. When I spoke to producer Tracy, I said, you know, is there a creek nearby? Because I figured he may have had some plants or something down there that he was going down to take care of every morning. But she said, no, there's no creek. So,
you know, that's what people do? They plant drug plants near creeks?
You know, I don't really know. I've just heard.
Okay.
You need a water source. What you're saying. You need some water, okay. Some shade. You know, if you go on Wikipedia, you find out all about it.
Our mind was going crazy. We didn't know. I mean, we had no idea. Was it a drug deal? We had no idea at all.
Then we started getting nervous that Frankie was putting himself in danger, that he was going to somehow get, like, injured or shot or beat up or something. We were like, okay. We need to bring in the real dogs here. So I'm afraid for Frankie.
So well, you see why I'm bringing him along.
That's right. Who was your partner?
This is Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Joe doesn't have to say anything.
Joe is just beef, man.
He's one big muscle.
He's like a big slab of walking beef.
Big old boy.
So, all right. So I call you, and then Thursday, or is it Friday morning that you go down there? Because for me, like when you see TV shows that have private investigators, it really looks like sort of you get one or two. It's either a really boring job where a guy's sitting in his car and he's eating all night just waiting for something to happen, or the PI's on the run all the time and he's always this close to catching the guy. So when you get there on Thursday morning or Friday morning, set the whole thing up for me.
Well, after I spoke to Frankie and he kind of brought me up to speed on what was going on, and I went out and I told David, my brother-in-law, he was working with me that day, and I told him, I said, I'm going to find out what's in these woods. I said, you know, regardless of what it takes. So I go down and you know, he told me there's a little birdhouse there. I saw this little birdhouse. I thought that was neat, you know.
Their little side camera.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. So
he's like rookies.
I go down and I see the so birdhouse, and I go down in the little patch of woods in the ivy. And from the waist up, you really could not see anything out of the ordinary. I mean, everything looked normal, you know, and I thought, okay, you know, there's something down here. So I got on my hands and knees at that point. And when I did that, I saw something that kind of stood out to me. And I thought, you know, this is really, really odd. Surely this is not what the guy's doing. There's no way this is what the guy's doing. So, you know, I kind of got my team together, and I called Joe up. And I said, hey, man, we're going to be here in the morning, and we're going to find out what's going on. So
So you had your first clue even before you called Joe. You thought, okay, this thing's almost done already.
Yeah, I had my first clue, but I thought it was very odd. You know, I wasn't sold on it at that point that that's what was going on, because I thought, you know, this is just a cover. This is in case he comes down here and someone confronts him, he can say, okay, I'm doing this.
Okay.
You know, so that's what I originally thought it was. I thought it was just a cover.
Hmm.
So when I got my team together, I had Joe and I had Emily. And the way the fence goes down behind the townhomes, and it makes a hard 90 kind of coming back up toward the road, and there's an office building there. So so the next morning, we go down. I drop Joe off with Whitney, and I say, okay, you know, you're the lookout guy. Let me know when he's coming. And then Emily, I had her go around behind the fence on the residential road, because there's a house behind the fence over there. And I wanted to make sure that no one was coming from that house to meet him at that wood line
right.
every morning.
Okay, so you're getting it on both angles now,
that's
both
right.
sides of the fence.
That's right. I wanted Emily to be
surrounding the perimeter with all your staff and
that's
your
right.
team.
Did you use the word double back?
Because she had to, you know, pass that hard 90 to get back over there to the wood line. And
well, I had Emily. I told her, I said, if anybody comes or if anyone comes from this residence, starts walking toward that wood line, let me know. And, of course, my job was to go down into the woods and lay on my stomach and just watch to see what the guy did.
All right, stop right there. Frankie, that was really never an option for you, was it?
No.
To get down on your stomach.
No.
Because if you didn't have anybody there, who's going to help you get up?
Yeah, well, really?
No, here's a guy on crutches saying that to you. So. Yeah. I wouldn't take it.
All right, so Frankie never assumed that position. Okay.
My original fear was someone's going to call the cops, because, I mean, there's an office building adjacent to these townhomes, and I thought, man, they're going to see me going in the woods and see me lay down, and somebody's going to call the cops, and this ain't going to be pretty, because, you know, if they come up and they see me laying out in the woods, then, you know, they're probably going to come after me. So mm-hmm. that was my original fear.
And there were the police officers that were there like 2 days before, mm-hmm. for
right.
whatever reason, looking in that townhouse community.
Yeah, so I was kind of scared of that. But once I got down in the ivy field and I started looking around, and there was a big, huge wood pile, probably about 5 feet tall, I guess, that blocked the view from the residence, from the house behind the fence. It blocked the view to the fence to where this activity was going on. But I got to looking around at the wood pile, and I think I texted you then. I said, man, there's got to be a rattling copper moccasin around here somewhere. I mean, it was just snaky. It was just a real snake.
It just felt like there were snakes around it.
So then I got nervous because of the snakes, man. I thought, man,
stomping around, taking a stick and hitting the wood.
I thought, man, I'm going to get snake bit down here. But Joe texted me probably, I don't know, 5-10 minutes later and said, hey, man, he's here. So it all went down.
All right, Whitney?
Yeah.
We're about to tell you exactly who this dude is, okay?
Okay.
All right, so at this point now, Jason and ICU Investigations, they have pretty much surrounded the perimeter of the fence and the hole. You got Jason on his stomach in the woods in one area. You've got Joe on the other side of the fence, and you've got another assistant on lookout also, right?
That's right.
Okay. And our mysterious guy pulls up like he does every single day. It must be about 9:40 or so?
That's right.
9:40.
It was about 9:45, 9:50, somewhere along in there.
Okay, so you take it from here, man.
Well, you know, Joe texted me and said he's on his way down, and I could hear footsteps coming toward me, and I guess about 30 seconds after Joe texted me, I looked up, and there was a cat that showed up. And basically what it is that hole that Frankie saw
mm-hmm.
up under the fence. Up under that hole, there are three bowls. And two of those bowls have cat food. One of them is dry cat food. One of them is canned cat food. And the other bowl is water. And all the guys, all he's doing is he's going down there in the morning, and he's feeding this stray cat.
He really is.
Are you kidding me?
That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
That's You're so serious?
It. I'm dead serious.
Okay, now wait a second. Does the guy belong to the community that he got attached to a cat somewhere along the road?
Well, that's why I wanted to confront him the following day to get his side of the story.
All right, hold on one second here. Frankie, grab a mic at this point.
It was a cat.
All right, Frankie, so you were there. You were down that little path, and you saw the hole. Did you ever bend down and see any bowls there?
No, I didn't.
Did you bend down and see anything?
No, I did not.
You never bent down?
No. I just looked at the hole. I didn't think anything of it. I didn't see what he would. Okay, I'm done.
It's a good foot on the other side of the fence. I mean, when he reaches up under the fence, I mean, it's a good foot or two on the other side, on the back side of the fence, which was one of my questions, you know, why on the back side of the fence?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are you feeding the cat on that side of the fence?
Well, when Frankie, this came up before when Frankie was doing this investigation about the cats. One of the things that I said was that there's no way you feed one stray because then the whole horde of strays come because cats talk to their friends. So I'm shocked that if he's feeding one cat, that it's still just the one cat.
Well, and you know, that was a question I had also, but I saw no other cats down there. There was just one cat.
Huh.
I think it was exclusive. Between those two.
We wouldn't be cheating on the other cat.
There's a special bond with this cat.
So why is he attached to one cat?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean, he answers some questions, you know, in the audio that I don't wanna go into because I want you to hear it for yourself.
Okay.
He's a cat lover.
Aww.
I mean, he loves cats and
God bless him.
He's great.
The thing about it though is you know, everything that Whitney said was legitimate because he was hiding the food. In the audio you'll hear why.
Okay.
He was hiding the food. So he would get out and he would put a jacket on and he would take this food and he would tuck it up under his arm or put it in his pocket and look around to make sure nobody was looking. And I mean he had some very, very odd behavior.
It's suspicious seeming.
Very suspicious behavior.
To feed a cat.
And, you know, even after I saw him feed the cat, I was like, no, there's something more to this.
Because you thought it was a cover.
Yeah,
that's what
I thought
saying.
It was a cover. The very first day I was there, and that's what I saw when I bent down, I thought, okay, this is a cover. You know, this is just something that if he gets caught down here doing whatever it is he's doing, he can turn around and say, hey, you know, I was just down here feeding the cat.
Right.
right. But when he fed the cat the following day, I was probably 10 feet from him.
And the cat came up and was there waiting for him.
Well, the cat came up and looked at me like, hey, man, what are you doing here?
Yeah, it's my food. These are my bowls.
That's right.
So, Whitney, this is a little anticlimactic right here.
It drives me nuts.
But at least it's not something criminal.
Yeah.
Like, we were thinking he was burying a dead body and all
this
stuff. Weird.
Why wouldn't he just adopt the cat and take the cat to his house?
Did you ask any of those questions?
We did, and you can hear it in the audio. He already has several at his townhouse.
So he can't be an animal hoarder.
That's right.
Sweet. Yeah, he doesn't want to appear weird to anybody. All right, so here's some of the audio. Joe, this is you confronting the cat dude.
Yes. What's going on, man? What you up to?
What's up?
What you got going?
Come on.
My name is Joe Robinson. I'm with ICU Security Investigation.
Yeah.
Keep that car.
Sure, man.
What you doing back there, man?
Feeding cats.
Feeding cats?
Yeah.
Oh. You do this every day?
Every day? No. One.
I think you freaked out a few people around here,
you're
man.
Serious?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, you park there.
Yeah.
And then you scoot back in the woods every day.
Yeah.
You kind of keep something up under your shirt.
Right here.
And then yesterday you kind of had something tucked up. And it just freaks everybody out, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. I won't go back there if they want me to.
No, I don't think that it's... You can or can't, but I just think it just weirded everybody out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't go back there.
No, I wouldn't worry about it, man.
Your side of the story, man. I mean, we just wanted to hear what you had going on. I mean, that's all.
Oh, okay.
Where'd you meet the cat at?
Well, no, you know, he just roams around here.
Yeah.
I'm a big cat lover, so.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing it for about a year.
About a year?
Yeah.
Just coming back here and feeding the cat every morning for about a year.
Yeah.
And he's just a stray that just...
Yeah, he stays awesome, here. Man. He stays here.
He just stays at the complex.
But the complex don't like it. And so...
I don't know why they care.
It's just a damn cat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I wouldn't think that they would care.
I mean, if there was 30 of them roaming around here, I can understand.
Are you married or see anybody?
Yeah, I'm married.
Does the cat know you're married?
So he can't. He's like, "What's everybody freaked out about? I'm one guy. I'm here for 5 minutes. It's one cat." So he's putting it like on. Everybody's freaked out over nothing.
Well, he actually said that the, I guess the association had already said something to him for feeding the cat. They told him that they did not want him feeding strays. So that's why.
That's why he's all sneaky about it every
exactly.
day.
That's why he actually lives in the complex.
Oh, he does?
Yes. And that's why he drives up to where he drives to, and then he kind of hides the cat food up under his arms.
So they
or
don't
in his
see
pocket.
Him feeding the cat.
Exactly.
Here is his explanation on why he drives every day.
Yeah. It just seemed odd, man. You were over there.
Right.
And rather than walking, you drove.
Well, you know why? Because there's so many damn nosy neighbors.
Yeah.
That's why. You know how it is in these kind of places. And they.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be discreet about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Do you blame me?
No, I don't, man. And yeah, just
discreet about things.
Yeah.
That's why I'm trying to do that.
So he drives up because he doesn't want people like Whitney freaking out.
Nosy neighbor woman.
And then in this third piece of audio, this is the guy explaining his coat and why it's so mysterious that he had that coat on that Whitney told us about on day one.
So for a year, every morning.
Yeah,
about sun. That's cool, man.
You just come down here and feed him.
Well, see, I usually have my coat and I tuck it under my coat.
Yeah, and see, that's one of the things right. you heard is there's usually a coat. You put the coat on when you get out of the car, and then you tuck something in the coat, and then you walk.
I need to get a house.
You move to the country, man. Yeah.
I know what you could do.
What?
If you want to tell my own, I have seven cats.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, my wife.
You have seven cats in your
townhome.
Really?
It's a big place, you know.
Right.
But if you want to tell them one of my cats comes down here and I check up on them, I don't care.
That's fine. Ain't nobody gonna mess with you. I promise you that.
That's ridiculous.
I'm
trying to be a nice person.
Don't worry about it. Keep feeding them.
Have an awesome weekend.
All right, guys.
Good to meet you.
All right, guys.
Thank you very, very much, buddy.
So it took us 4 weeks and 3 private investigators to find out that a dude was feeding a cat.
I mean,
seven cats in the house, a little odd, but, you know, it's sweet that he's feeding this cat.
I know, every day for a year.
At least not a dead body. Which didn't make sense
so
by him going back every day.
I'm so disappointed that he is not dealing drugs.
You know, we said this is the case mostly with just,
yes.
I'm just curious, is that you've got it built in your head so much to be something
right.
much bigger than it is, and it turns out just to be a cat and
he's
three bowls.
A cat.
Hey, Tina, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show on Q100. What's going on?
I just wanted to say that he had the answer already. The lady from the real estate, the one on the apartment, said that they were feeding the cats.
Yeah.
Hey, wait, there's a cover-up. She asked the code because they're both dealing marijuana. I mean,
drugs.
Yeah, I remember that. That's right. Yep. They told us what the answer was, and we just didn't believe it.
No.
But we had this answer 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, I actually saw it, you know, the first day for myself, and I didn't believe it either. And Joe asked him, he said, have you ever tried to catch this cat, you know, to make it your own or something to that effect? And he said, no, you know, this is a wild cat, and he would.
All right, Whitney, so that's it. It really is. It's just a dude behind your townhouse community, and he's feeding cats every single day. That's it.
That's it. It's a little disappointing.
Isn't it?
Oh my God, that's so funny. If there's no criminal activity, then we're not satisfied.
Yeah. It's got to be reassuring, though. You live in a great neighborhood.
Yes.
Yeah, that is good to know.
With sweet people.
Crazy men around here.
Hey, we had an awesome time hanging out with you and your son, too.
Oh, yeah, so it was fun.
It was great.
Thanks a lot, Whitney. Thanks for giving us 4 week of material.
Wow.
You're welcome. Sorry.
This is The Burt Show.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're on The Burt Show.
And Wendy was busy getting in dancing shape.
Yeah, dancing and soaking my feet in water because there are blisters all over. I challenged last week because I watched Dancing with the Stars. I've watched it season after season, and it's one of the best cast ever this season. And Kay Gosselin's a part of the cast and came in here on Tuesday watching her performance of the jive. And they have, you know, granted, they have a week to learn a jive and just her effort and her performance just was not great, and it was just not good. So I came in here on Tuesday, raring to go. I'm like, I can do a jive better than Kate Gosselin and learn it in a week and perform it a whole lot better than she can. So I'm doing that this week, but it is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And
really?
I can see now the frustration. I can't see it like to the extreme, like Kate Gosselin like yelling at her dance partner, but I can see the frustration in learning new steps because I haven't danced before. Kate Gosselin has never danced before. And they're literally, because I talked to my teacher, Antonio.
You have to say it with a better accent on that.
Antonio. Yeah. And I was talking with him, and he was like, you're literally cramming 50 lessons that you would normally give somebody in the matter of a week.
Wow. So,
and that's what all the celebrities have to do every week also.
Yeah.
Right. So now I'm coming in with blisters all over my feet from the shoes and breaking them in and learning this fast dance because the jive is a lot faster than I thought it was. I was like, I can nail this. This is easy. And I'm getting in there and I'm like frustrated. I'm like stomping around. Like, I can't do this.
Do you feel like you're getting it?
Yeah.
You are?
I've learned 30 seconds of the dance. It's got to be a minute 30 when we perform it on Friday. So Friday is performance day. So we're rehearsing every day this week.
We need to bring him in tomorrow.
Fun.
We could get him in tomorrow. He would definitely come in. He's so much fun. He's a great dance teacher. I mean, is very patient with me and is teaching me all these fun moves. And I'm really enjoying it at the same time.
Are you falling in love with him like they do on Dancing with the Stars?
I love Antonio.
She's already having an affair with him.
Yeah, we went out on Saturday night just to hang out. He's so much fun.
See, this is how it starts. These dancers.
Where's he from?
They know how.
Oh, I don't know where he's from. I didn't ask that.
He just has that thick accent.
He's got a great accent. It's awesome.
Where do you think he's from, Bert?
We should call him.
And listening to his accent through Wendy, Argentina.
Oh, okay.
I can hear it.
I was going with Brazil.
No, he's so much fun to work with, and I'm having a blast doing it. Like, I want to do this and like for the rest of my life. Like, I would like go back and do dance classes.
Keep
now.
Going.
It is so much fun, and it's a workout. I'm like, don't touch me. I'm sweaty right now. You have to be like super close with your partner.
We should be taking some video of you rehearsing too, because that's what they do on Dancing with the Stars. So the next time you're down there, let us know.
I know we're going to have to get Rhett to video it, but I'll be there today at 2 and then every day this week, hopefully longer and longer.
And Friday night, where are people going to be able to go to actually see you do the dance that we'll be recording?
It's Friday night at the dance studio. So they do parties every Friday night. So it's going to be at one of their parties that you can come to. So it starts at 9 and it's at Daza Dance up in Johns Creek, which is in Alpharetta. So
awesome.
I'll put all the information online so people can come out and check it out. But they're pro dancers that have been dancing their entire lives.
Don't make excuses.
They're going to be watching this. So I'm actually really nervous about it because even them standing there watching me rehearse, I'm like, oh no, what do these people think of this girl who's just coming in and trying this out?
But see, I think this is authentic comparison to Dancing with the Stars, because you said that in the practice you stomped your feet, I can't do this, and then you think it's fun one minute, now you're nervous about the professional dancer. So I do think this is good comparison.
Listen, it's the Bert Show.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.